Murray said I could speak for 2 hours today, so stay calm, church. And that is exactly what this message is about, the love of God. It's about the love of God and about our role in affirming and disseminating and bringing that love to pass. This message is both for everyone, and it is, as you will see, intensely personal. It's not an easy message to bring, but let's begin. I want to begin with Micah, one of the so-called minor prophets. But as for me, I will look to the Lord, and confident in him, I will keep watch. I will wait with hope and expectancy for the God of my salvation. This message is also about worship. Because when we pray for our loved ones, it is an act of worship. There's nothing we can do for the Lord that is not an act of worship. Every act of obedience, every command we obey in him is an act of worship. We are told in Luke 9:23 to take up our cross. And it occurred to me, it's difficult to take up anything else when you take up the cross. Thank you very much, Chalia. We'll talk about that later. You can't imagine Jesus carrying anything else on the way to Golgotha. Taking up the cross must be all-consuming. It must be the totality. There cannot be anything else but the cross when we lift it. And the other thing is, we take up the cross, but sometimes I've tended to forget. We're on our way to Calvary. We're on our way to Golgotha. We take up the cross to die. We take up the cross to die every day, to ourselves, to our own desires, to those urges and images that would keep us from him. The cross and nothing else. Nothing else. There can be no cross and. And taking up the cross, I want to suggest, should free us. If we take up the cross and we can't take up anything else, then God should supply. God will supply. Whatever it is, he will supply. And I believe that taking up the cross, if we allow it, will free us from the weight of life. You know, the tyranny of things, the dictatorship of self and guilt and fear. These things we can't carry if we take up the cross. They have to be handed over. You know, when I was preparing this message, I said, Lord, what about faith? Do I have the faith? Then I thought of Pastor Laurie's words that I hear so often. Listen to the word and your faith will grow. Read the word, read it aloud, listen to it and your faith will grow. Jesus did not say, he's given you faith the size of a mustard seed. He said he's given us faith as a mustard seed. Mustard seed is yay tiny. But look how it grows in him. Look what the word can do for a person who reads the word, who absorbs it, who listens to it, who obeys it. This is exciting. So there's nothing. Houses, cars, allotments, or loved ones that we can hold on to. When we take up the cross, these things are no longer, these things, these people, these loved ones are no longer ours. They are God's. And if they are Lord, they are the Lord's, we must then be stewards. And I have not been a good steward of my children, as some of you know. I have been, to say the least, a disastrous steward. But I can pray, because having handed my children over to the Lord, that's all I can do. That is all I can do, particularly with my son, my poor lost son. But God is challenging me. Pray. Pray in the morning. Pray in the night. Pray continuously. Only believe. And I cannot believe, I will not believe, that having been challenged to pray for my son, he will not come to the Lord. Now I know very well that we cannot pray for a person's salvation. We have to pray that person will come to the point of decision. We're told in the Old Testament, multitudes in the valley of decision. And I know that. But nevertheless, if God calls me to pray for someone, would he call me if he is going to refuse? If God is the initiator, would he invite me to a party and there's no food? I don't think so. I know very well that there is a point of decision. For every one of us here who came to the Lord, there is a point of decision. We were free, weren't we, to refuse? But it's a great paradox, isn't it, that we weren't. In the end, it doesn't feel like we were free to refuse, does it? It's as if we are both free to escape and caught by the great fisherman. Now, I believe for my children, for my son, for my youngest daughter, as I pray, God will work. God will work. And they will come to him. They will come to him. So, my cross, the cross I have taken up, is that of prayer. Constant, unremitting prayer. This is not an effort to twist the arm of God. This is fellowship with him. This is an act of worship. It is an act of absolute certainty. As certain as when a person came to Jesus and said, "Can you heal me?" And he said, "I can. Are you willing?" I believe, as I pray for my loved ones, as you pray for your loved ones, you know the tough ones? You know the hard ones? You know those loved ones who just never seem to change, never seem to alter, despite all your prayer? Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Do not give up. If God is calling you to prayer for them, I promise you he will give an answer. I promise you. I don't know how he does it, but I know God can take the hardest heart. He can take the most unlikely and change them. How do I know this? He changed me. He changed you. Are we any harder than those thick-skinned loved ones? Are we any harder? He had to work on us for years. When I came back from Israel, having determined that I would become a Jew, I was walking down the street, young, intellectually arrogant, certain of new certainties. I'd put aside my ancient faith, and a tiny little girl walked up to me and said, "Can I tell you about Jesus?" And I looked down at her, swelling up like some great big fat pouter pigeon, and I said, "Yes, yes, tell me about Jesus." and they came back. There is a moment in God's calendar, there is a moment. Wait on God for that moment. Wait on God. Though the vision tarry, it will come. It will come. I look around me here and I see people I love, and I know your concerns. Wives, husbands, children, friends. Do not give up. The shepherd is out there and he is looking for these lambs. Jesus came to seek and save. He activates our faith. He joins us in prayer. There is a story about a little boy who in a small town in America was voted the most loving child in the town. He was only about six. One day he was sitting out on what we call a veranda with his mother and father, and they looked over and the man next door, who was I think about 80, he was crying, sobbing. He just lost his wife of 65 years. And the little boy jumped off mother's lap and went over and jumped up on the old man's lap. And he was there for about half an hour. And when he came back, the mother said, "What did you say?" He said, "I didn't say anything. I just helped him cry. I just helped him cry." Let's not forget that God grieves over our loved ones. God weeps for their absence in his kingdom. His heart is wounded by their absence daily. He wants your loved ones to be saved. So, what does Scripture say about this? God wants all to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is on our side. God is on the side of the lost. That's why he came. That's why he came. Sometimes when we pray, we think we're twisting God's arm. "Oh, I'm not really happy about that one. Oh, come on, Lord." "Well, I don't know." I'm sure it doesn't work like that. God is not willing that any should perish. God is love. Absolutely affirming, seeking out, wounded for, dying for love. How can we doubt our loved ones will come when we pray, when Christ gave his blood, when he shed his blood for the salvation of all? How can we doubt? If God be for us, who can be against us? Not the devil, not the flesh, nothing. As we seek his face diligently for these precious children, these wives, these cousins, these husbands, watch and see them come one by one. Watch and wait and see them sitting beside us in this church. My daughter, my youngest daughter, my poor, poor wounded son, addicted and lost. His partner is a radiant Christian. My wife, for 40 years, a strong and radiant Christian. Yes, this is a personal message, but it's also a message for everyone here, because is there anyone here who doesn't have a loved one who isn't in the Lord? His name, Jesus' name, means Savior. It is at the very center of his mission. planned before universes, before galaxies, before anything. It is at the absolute center that he came to save. This is not some spurious Calvinism where some are going to be saved and others aren't. I'm not saying everyone on earth will be saved, but I'm saying as God calls on you to pray, he will honor that prayer. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. But I will say, if we are prayerless, it makes it more difficult. God enjoins us into prayer. He urges us to prayer. Never give up. Never give up. I know it doesn't look like it at the moment. I know after years or weeks or months it doesn't look like it, but do not give up. My father was so surprised by my return to Christ that he rejected me. He couldn't believe it. He thought it was just another idea. It took him months to accept it. He couldn't dare to hope. "You shall call his name Savior," the angel said. Who named Jesus? It wasn't the angel. Jesus named Jesus 1,000,000 years ago. If he knew, if he named himself, he knew the plan, he knew the cost, he knew the way, and he knows the outcome. And the outcome is salvation for those we love as we seek God for them diligently. The name of Jesus is his authority to draw men to salvation. That moment, as I said, when we stand at the gates of decision, inextricably caught and utterly unable to turn away. That moment of redemption, the moment of justification, the moment of the beginning of sanctification. His name is his authority to draw men. And in this name, all things were created. We're told in Colossians, all things hold together by this name. Let's think about it for a moment. You'll call his name Yeshua. God saves. Names in the Old Testament had a potency we can only imagine. This name, from the moment it was given and long before, defined Jesus' mission on earth to save. Every word he said, every moment he spent, was spent seeking out the lost. God is not willing that your mother, your father, your cousin, your uncle, your wife, your child should perish. And if God is not willing, who can stop him? Pray persistently. Pray in the night and the day. Pray without ceasing. Put aside your fears and doubts. And you will see the result. You will. How do I know this? Because God is able to save and willing to save. Isaiah 52:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short it can't save. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible to fulfill. Has he called you to prayer? Of course. Has he called you to prayer for your loved ones? Absolutely. Will he refuse that prayer having called you? Not a chance. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. We've got to take up the cudgels of prayer. In the end, with all the foolishness and all the arrogance, all the nonsense, I came back to the Lord like a lamb. And it was a process. It was a process. I was walking through the farm in Israel with a girl. We were discussing how silly Christianity was. She was a lapsed Catholic. And suddenly she said to me, "Oh, but what if we're wrong?" And it resonated in me. God works and has worked and will work outside of our comprehension to bring our prayers to fulfillment. Sometimes we can't see it. We can't see the internal change. It took one word from that little girl, just one question, and all my assumptions, all my arrogance, all my foolishness just collapsed, bang, down, gone. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Salvation is his to give. Psalm 3:8. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's his. This is his blessing upon his people. This is Old Testament, folks. This is Old Testament. Woohoo! It's been around for a long time, hasn't it? Salvation, God's willingness to save. He will do everything in his almighty power to answer the prayer of your heart that he first placed there. When you are on your knees praying for your loved ones, never forget that he began the process. He placed it on your heart. He will enable, he will bring to pass. Is there anyone on earth who's ever come to the Lord and there hasn't been someone praying for them? I had a multitude of relatives praying for me. As when I was growing up, I did not have a single relative who didn't know the Lord. Now, some of you have said to me, "But who prayed for me?" You don't know. But I promise you there were people praying for you. That's what prayer does. Prayer breaks through. Prayer wins the battle. Prayer glorifies God. Prayer brings your loved one to him. No question. No question. Don't give up. Don't quit. When Jesus prayed, God gave him his disciples. When the disciples prayed, multitudes come into the kingdom, and the process has not stopped, and it will not until he comes back. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Can you see the active there? He came to seek, actively to seek, and he does it through us. Be a part of that process. Don't give in to what you can only see. I saw a movie recently. Sailors were saved from their World War II sinking warship. Even as they were dragged, covered in oil, into the lifeboat, they turned and they took the hands of those who were coming. Can you see what I'm saying here, church? They were saved, but they reached out to others. If we do not reach out in prayer for those around us, particularly today for our loved ones, then we fail in our mission. It is a responsibility God has laid on us. Through his Spirit, the saving of those sailors, the saving of our sailors, it's the captain's command. Let's not put it aside. Salvation is the theme of the Bible. Isaiah 54:13, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the prosperity of your children. I believe it. A great preacher, Smith Wigglesworth, said, only believe. He was willing to die to save us. Jesus could have called on around about 80,000 angels to save him from the cross, to save him from being Savior. But he stayed true. And is there a person in this part of Christ's body who has not benefited from that refusal to accept the devil's temptation? It's exciting, isn't it? Think of the possibilities. Think of the people you're going to spend eternity with, that third cousin twice removed. I had a third cousin twice removed, but unfortunately he kept coming back. God is passionate to save. Sometimes I think we imagine that God's up there remote. Do we have a passion? Do we have emotions that he did not give us? We are made in his image. God is passionately in love with you. God is passionately in love with you. God is passionately in love with your loved ones. Let's share in his passion in our prayer. Let's share in his passion as we pray. Catch the fire on our knees and see the result. I am wounded daily by my failure to see my children come to the Lord. I'm hurt for others in this church I know and love who pray daily and don't seem to see a result. But I'm here to say this morning, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't turn your back. Because in the Lord's time, in his moment, they will come to him. They will. I'm going to repeat it. He would not have called you to prayer if he wasn't going to give you an answer. God is not a man that he should lie. Jesus was willing to become human to save us. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God who is mediator between God and man. How can we doubt our loved ones will come to the Lord if Jesus was willing to come to earth to give the message, to give his life, to raise the possibility? Was his blood shed for nothing? Not a chance. I know this isn't in Scripture, but I believe on the cross he saw all who would come. He was there for all who would come. He would have come for one, but he came for all. Habakkuk, remember, though the vision tarry, it will come to fulfillment. It will come to fulfillment. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for. Faith means knowing that something is real, even if we don't see it. Jesus said, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down and count the cost? Do you have sufficient to fulfill the building program?" But you see, Jesus does not refer to a cost we have to count. He counted the cost. Jesus has already counted the cost of building that tower. Our role? Obey, pray, and believe. Obey, pray, and believe. Almost there. Psalm 123. It's a tiny psalm, but it gives the image of the maidservant and the manservant looking to the hands of their mistress and their master. This is what God calls us to be, waiters on Him. Standing at the table of the Lord, waiting until the hand moves, waiting until the command is given. I cannot and will not for one moment believe that as I pray for my poor lost son, God will not need his heart. God will not change his mind. God will not restore him. And I say restore because he gave his heart to the Lord many years ago. God will not restore him to himself. How do I know this? Because the Lord commands me to pray for him. Thank you. I want to thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is more certain. Your word will be fulfilled. I want to thank you, Lord, for your love, your kindness and your peace, and your determination that no one will be lost. God is not willing that any should perish as we seek your face for them. Amen.